Thanks, Annie.
Okay, good. Okay, I have a question, a couple of questions in the chat. Performance, what is the best practice? So that's Brian Justin, I think. Sorry if I
Yep,
messed the order. The best practice around how much compute resources should be allocated to the server based on the load. So this is a little bit like the egg and chicken question, because load for one person is different for another. So we do have the capacity guide, which has a very nice table showing you what exactly we had been testing with to get specific results from where we can interpolate. What we also know is that there are operations on the server, for example, PGP, which are very CPU and memory exhaustive. So depending on what you are doing exactly, you might need to play with that. So the way I would start when I'm doing resources is, first of all, as I mentioned, the install guide was updated. So we have a new minimum requirement for both CPUs and memory. For example, on the server, the absolute minimum we require now is 4 CPUs and 16 gigabytes of memory. But this is for a very small system, still production, but small. As long as if you're in a proper production environment, I would usually recommend doubling that. So 4 to 8 CPUs with 32 gigabyte of memory is a great start for pretty much any environment that is not on the very small scale. Obviously, if you're going to go million files per day, then you need to go a little larger. So that's where it starts. So do you have what kind of transformations are you doing? So what happens to your files when they are coming? Ryan,
Yeah, that's
isn't
perfect. And I'm also on the same team as Jeff at Wells Fargo.
okay.
And so yeah, essentially there's all sorts of, just like you said, different types of loads, which is great to account into the consideration, which I wasn't accounting for. So that's great. And I'll definitely have to keep an eye on that. And I really do appreciate that you noted that that stuff has been updated in the install guide. So I'll be sure to go ahead and check those out for further details. But that's a great idea and a great starting point for us. So thank you.
Yeah, and because I happen to know your environment very well, all of them actually, just read whatever and then double it and then start thinking again. It's my recommendation for your environments. You're on the bigger scale, always had been. So, other from that, a couple of things to remind to mention, especially if you're building new environments, do baselines. Figure out how long something takes to the server and run it carefully or at least once a day to see if it's still behaving. You will never know if the server is getting overloaded if you don't have a baseline to compare to. And this baseline need to be clean, right? You cannot just compare one file today to another tomorrow that have nothing to do with it in terms of where it's coming from or where it's going to. The other thing
Absolutely.
in your kind of environments, and this is very large environment, but this also is valid everywhere. For the last maybe 10 years, in my experience, the biggest bottleneck always ends up being the file system we're putting the files onto. It's not ST itself, because we had been increasing the capacity. It's usually the NFS or whatever you are using behind it. So, or the network saturation point, or something similar like that, something outside of ST, because people tend to make their ST very sturdy and make it a huge application, and then forget that we actually need to talk to the file system, and we need a network in and out, and we need access to the LDAP if you're doing LDAP for authentication and things like that. So whenever you, or if you use ICAP for antivirus, if your ICAP engine can only handle 3 files per hour, I have some news for you. Your ST will not be able to handle more either, because we need to wait on them, right? So
Absolutely.
things like that, things outside. And talking about that, The one thing that I would point out is archiving. So we did a huge amount of work on getting our archiving to work a little better. For the ones that are not familiar, archiving is a feature you can enable in ST, which while we're writing the file on the file system, we write a second copy in the archive folder, and this is what is used for resubmit. So it's a very nice thing to turn on. But until half a year ago, we recommended big environments to actually disable it because it was a hog on resources. We finally fixed that. So now we actually recommend it to be enabled. So now you can have resubmit cleanly. But please, please, please don't put the archive folder on the same shared storage where your home folders are. Because I've seen people doing that. First of all, archive in the same folder as the actual storage makes no sense whatsoever. Operational or not. But the bigger problem is that now we have a double IO operation during the receiving of the file going on the same disk that is already struggling. So don't do that. And just as a base rule, if you have two storages and one of them is better than the other in terms of resources, IO memory, you know, use the better one for home folders, the worse one for archiving. Archiving has a single write during the receiving of the file. And a single read, and it's only happening a read only if there is a resubmit needed. So, make sense?
Brian? Yeah, that's excellent. Thank you so much.
Okay, talking about resubmit, how many people saw in the August release that we have a multiple resubmit through the UI? My new server died, so I cannot show you. But you don't. If you have more than one resubmit to be done, we actually did, and it's not an API based. Unfortunately, they're looking into it. But as long as you can get them on the same page on the UI, you can hit a single resubmit button and resubmit multiple transfers at the same time now. No one cares. Okay, I had mentioned it. Okay. Anything else, Brian?
No, that's it for me. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Okay, give me a second to see just something. And I saw the other question is about the port changes. The release notes has the exact requirements for the disk to be successful, and it has a couple of links as well. So I'll start with the September build release notes, Jacob.
Okay. I'll okay. Take a look at that.
Yep. And also, we published somewhere on the support site an article explaining some of the differences. I don't have a handy link at the moment. If you cannot find it, I'll see if I can find it so we can send it later. But it's pretty straightforward. From your perspective, if you look through the release notes, it will tell you need to create additional OS level user, for example, for the replication to work. And things like that, but it is listed as the prerequisite for the update on the September release. And it's very, very clearly spelling out if you're on Windows, if you're on appliance, if you're on Linux, do this, this, this. So it's pretty straightforward. It lists which ports need to be opened, who needs to talk to whom.